In a few moments, we're going to read the Bible from Luke chapter 1. We've already read from Luke chapter 2, which is the Christmas story. But we're going to read another part of the story this morning in a few moments. That's really maybe the prequel. Could I call it the prequel to the Christmas story? The visitation of the angel Gabriel to Mary.
This is the birth of Jesus foretold. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she, who was said to be unable to conceive, is in her sixth month." This is the word. "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her, and that was the word of the Lord.
It is Christmas Day, of course. It always feels to me, at least, that it is the culmination of the Christmas season. I know that the 12 days of Christmas, which I have never really celebrated, I think begin on Christmas Day, as far as I know. So for some people, maybe Christmas begins today. But for me as a pastor, and it feels like in the church community, this is the end in some ways. This is the finale. This is the climax. Christmas Day. And I have a feeling, at least some of us, have high expectations for Christmas Day. The Christmas service at church, the Christmas sermon, and if that doesn't do it, then hopefully something later on in the day. I'm hoping that someone gives me a certain kind of gift, or a certain kind of word, or I'm hoping for something today or this week, or maybe it's already happened, maybe a special bonus or something from work. It's a season where it seems to me like for some people, the expectations are really, really high. And I think the Christmas season can handle all of our expectations as long as we place the expectations on Jesus himself. So I know that if I put all my expectations on my family, or they put all their expectations on me, we're all going to get crushed under the weight of the expectations. Or if I expect certain things of you or certain things of me, sometimes unspoken, we're going to be crushed under the weight of the expectations. But Jesus and the story of Jesus can bear all the weight of our expectations. And we at Nelson Avenue during the season of Advent, it's only three messages I've brought during the season of Advent, but the messages I've brought have focused on the theme of Christmas for everyone. And we've looked mostly at Matthew chapter 1. If you have a Bible, either now or later, you can look at that. But we looked at the family line of Jesus and the visit of the angel to Joseph. And from that first chapter, we said, Christmas is for men and women, boys and girls. Christmas is for people who look like they're full of faith, like Abraham, but if we look into their lives, they sometimes have far less faith than we expected. Christmas is for people like King David, who was a man after God's own heart, but if we look into his life, there were certain moments where he was far, far away from God. Christmas is for, and for those of us who are churchgoers, we need to hear this, Christmas is for both the irreligious and the religious. I sometimes think the religious people like me almost need Christmas more than anybody else in the world. We need to hear again, over and over again, the good news of great joy that's supposed to be ours. And I focus a little bit on joy because so often it feels like sometimes in the church, where's the joy? Where's the joy? Where's the joy in my life? Where's the joy maybe in some of our lives? This morning, I also want to add to that list of who Christmas is for. And I was actually, as Andy was reading this morning from Luke chapter 2, I heard it again. It was a message for all the people. All the people. And so this morning I want to add to the list that I've put together, and I want to say Christmas is also for the doubters and the skeptics. The doubters and the skeptics. Now I know some of you right now and during this message are going to say to me, where's the Christmas message? Isn't the Christmas message about glory to God? I say, yes! That's the focus of the Christmas, is the focus of the Bible. It's the won't meant to be the focus of our lives. Glory to God. Isn't the message about peace on earth? I say, yes. Some of us this morning and some of us in other parts of the world need to hear the message of peace on earth. Isn't the Christmas story about the Savior who was born? I say, yes. That's the message. And who's the message for? Well, all these people I've mentioned, including the doubters and the skeptics. And I get that this morning just from one verse that Kenneth read for us, Luke 1:34. The angel Gabriel brings this message to Mary. And what's her first response? Angel shows up. She's terrified, right? We have to always remember when angels, if you really see an angel, I know some people claim they've seen angels. The telltale sign is you're scared. So if someone says, I saw an angel, and I was talking to that angel, and everything was fine, then I'm going to say you didn't see an angel. That was not an angel. If you really see an angel, the consistent witness of the Bible is people are freaked out. Because I think they think the angel's coming to hurt them because the angels are like mighty warriors. That's her first response. The second response, in verse 34, the mother of Jesus, the mother of the Messiah, the one who would bear the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. What does she say? How can this be? Because I'm a virgin. Now, in the original Greek, it's sort of like that, but it really says, I've never known a man like that, in that way. That I've never known a man in such a way that I would conceive a child. But how is this possible? And this morning, based on that verse, I want to say the Christmas message is also for people who ask questions like that. Sort of questions on the video this morning. I don't mean to be offensive, but isn't this all a fairy tale? Now, I want to, as we think about Mary this morning, I want to remind us, for those of us who have heard the story before, that the way that Luke tells a story in the first chapter is really two birth stories, right? There's Zechariah. Gabriel goes to Jerusalem, into the temple, talks to Zechariah, this priest, probably in his 60s or 70s, tells him that he and his wife are going to have a child, their first child in their later years, just like Abraham and Sarah in the Old Testament. And then a little while later, the same angel goes to Mary, not in Jerusalem, in Hickville, a little town that even some Jewish people didn't know about. Nazareth? Nothing good can come from Nazareth. So, a man receives a message, an older man, a very young girl, young woman, in the prominent city of Jerusalem, in Nazareth. Where's Nazareth? In the temple, in a common home. And both of them, when they get the message, their first verbal response, after they get over the shock and the terror of an angel, They both say, how is this possible? Now, Zechariah receives a sign. Right? You're going to be mute. And I think, and I keep hearing people say, well, Zechariah asked a different kind of question. And Mary asked a better question. I don't buy that. I don't buy it. I think Zechariah is struck mute because he's a priest. He's in the temple. He's maybe, I'm going to say, 65. He should know a lot more. He should believe a lot more than Mary does. So I think their questions are very similar. How is this possible? How is this going to happen? So the angel doesn't strike Zechariah dead. Maybe he should have. But he said, no, I'm going to have mercy on you. You're only going to be mute for 9 months. Right? You should respond with faith. Mary is maybe 16. So the angel says, I'm not going to treat you in the same way. Now I want to realize this morning, I want to confirm to us that Luke is not telling us about Zechariah and Mary so that we will doubt, so that we will ask questions. Actually, Luke tells us early on in the first chapter as he's setting up this gospel, he says, I'm telling you these things. I'm going to tell you the story. I've talked to eyewitnesses because I want you to be certain of the things you've been taught. Right? I'm going to tell you a true story, an authentic story. But as he tells the story, there are moments when people have questions and maybe even doubts about what's being told to them. That's part of the story. And when we hear that, we should realize Luke is not telling us propaganda. This is not propaganda. Right? Propaganda would have taken the question of Mary out. Right? Propaganda would have put a different kind of response in Mary's mouth. So this morning, even as we hear Mary's question, how is this possible? I'm a virgin. We should realize Luke is telling us the truth. We can trust Luke's telling of the story of Jesus. Now, many scholars, and I recognize this, and I think it's true, many scholars see Luke as presenting Mary as the model disciple. Right? Especially the ending of the passage where she says, I am the Lord's servants, let it happen to me as you've said. That's model discipleship. That's model faith. But I want to suggest as well that that response of model faith is set in the context of a question. There can be a question even among those who are model disciples. And even as my professor Joel Johnson said in a recent message, Mary is the miracles, that's the miracle of Jesus' birth, she's the miracle's first skeptic. She's the first questioner. The first one who brings up, how is that possible? How is that going to happen? And we should remember, I think sometimes we have this view of people 2,000 years ago, they believed anything. I mean, angel shows up and tells them something, they would believe it. That's not true. Mary knew already at 15, 16, 17, whatever age she was, how life kind of worked. And she knew the baby was not just going to happen. So she's not just, oh, that makes sense that I would have a child. That makes sense. This morning, I know it's Christmas Day, but I want us to be aware that the writer Luke and the Bible in general is not ashamed of Mary's question. Later on in the Bible, in the book of Jude, we're told that we should be merciful to those who doubt. That's part of the ministry of the church. And so this morning, I want to have us acknowledge that the story of the birth of Jesus, as wonderful and amazing and grace-filled and joy-filled as it is a story that we should acknowledge has some challenging parts to it. Right? I would say it's a story, the birth of Jesus, not just a miracle. It is a miracle. I would call it, it's the grand miracle. Right? It's not just two people who are a little bit older in life having a child. This is a woman who is a virgin having a child. But even bigger than the grand miracle is the whole idea of the incarnation. This maybe fancy word that the church uses to say God came into human flesh. And not just into like, I'm powerful king, zap, now I'm God with my sword and my shield and my army behind me. God comes in a baby. In a baby who's growing. A baby that King Herod knew could be killed. And even bigger than that, this baby, this child who's born of a virgin, God in the flesh, is a savior. He's a Messiah. He's a king. And I know some of us have heard the story so often, we think, of course, of course, of course. But we should recognize that there are parts of the story that some people find very difficult to believe. And consistent with the Bible's teaching, it takes a miracle, another kind of miracle by the Spirit of God, in any heart that believes this, for people to receive this message. Now again, I'm going to acknowledge that for some of us, this sounds like a downer Christmas Day message. You know? What's going on this morning, Pastor Yo? Why get fixated on this verse? Why not focus on the other verses that talk about this great son, great news, great joy? And those are all there. That's all part of the story. But this morning I want to focus here on the question, because it's a question that other people that we know, and maybe even some people here this morning, are asking. How's this possible? How's this possible? This message this morning could be a downer message for some of us. I recognize that. What I want to say is a downer message if we have an overly romanticized version of the Christmas story. If we think of the Christmas story only as shepherds and wise men and nice lights in the manger and everything is nice, and we forget that there's King Herod killing babies, and there's the almost divorce of Joseph and Mary, and there are questions that people are asking even in the story. If we have a romanticized version of the Christmas story, I think this morning's message will be a downer. Or if we are people who want to bury our heads in the sand and say, no one's asking those questions, at least no one here is asking those questions, then this morning's message will be a downer for you. Or if you're thinking this morning, as sometimes we have a problem in the church thinking, that the Christmas story is mainly for the faithful or for the believing, then I think this morning's story, a message will be a little bit of a downer for you. Or it'll be a downer for us if we don't really want to be used by God in the lives of those who are asking questions about the story. This morning I'm thinking about us, some of us who will go home fairly soon, or we're going to go to someone's house, and we're going to be having supper or lunch or goodies with people who ask these questions, right? And I want us, in some sense, to leave here expectant that God might use us. So we're going to visit with family and friends and maybe neighbors and, I don't know, co-workers. We'll have some interactions with people today or in the coming week. And they're going to have some questions if we were to ask them. They're going to wonder, how is this possible? You know, the other day I'm having my hair cut on Edmonds with Best Barber. And I invited him to our luncheon after the service at our house, and I knew what he was going to say. He's a Muslim. So I know he's thinking, it's Christmas Day, you're religious, I don't know if I want to go to your house, because... But if he were to show up, left him the address and the time, if he were to show up, I know eventually he's going to want to talk about religion. He does that quite freely. But we have very different versions of the story of Jesus. And I was asking him in the chair the other day, how do we figure out whose version is right? The Muslim version or the Christian version? How are we going to figure that out? And I didn't say, here's how we're going to figure it out. I'm just saying, can we even start to discuss how are we going to do that? Your version or my version? And I want to suggest for those of us who have those kind of interactions, and maybe, you know, there will be interactions with people we love very dearly, that even as we leave the church in a few moments, we would pray for people in advance. We would ask God for opportunities. We would allow the questions to come. We would allow people to ask the questions that are on their hearts. And then maybe we would give an answer or try and give an answer. But I would suggest for some of us that we say, guess what? Even in the story itself, there are people asking questions. So I'm okay with your question today. I'm not going to feel, whoa, you asked me a question. I don't know what to do with that. I know the story well enough that even the mother of Jesus was asking a question. And if the mother of Jesus is asking a question, I'm going to say it's okay for others of us to do that. Now, I would be shirking my responsibility as a pastor if I left it at that. So I'm going to try and tell you very quickly the rest of the story, because Luke does not want to leave people in their doubts and their questions, right? I just saw this for the first time. How many times have I heard the Christmas story? I don't know. It's just going on. It keeps giving, the Christmas story, but I've heard it so often. And I noticed this time, angel, Mary fearful, angel talks, question comes, angel talks again, Mary says, let it be unto me as you've said. But what does the angel say before she says that? I'm going to give you a sign. I'm going to give you a sign. Guess who else is having a baby? Not your friend in Nazareth, who you assume is going to have a baby soon. Guess who else? Your relative Elizabeth. She's in her 60s. She's having a baby. And what does the Bible say? After Mary said, let it be unto me, as you've said, the next line, she hurriedly, right away, I'm thinking the next day, the next week, she leaves to go see Elizabeth, and I think she's wondering, is it true? Is it true? Because if Elizabeth doesn't have a baby in her womb, then guess what? The angel lied. But if there's a baby in Elizabeth's womb, oh, wow. Now we're talking. And I think the angel, by God's mercy, weaves Mary's life with Elizabeth's life. Someone with a question and someone sort of with an answer weaves them together. And out of that experience comes the explosion of song. Mary's song later on, the Magnificat. I don't think it's for me. It's very interesting. It doesn't happen after the angel visits her. It happens after she sees Elizabeth, and the word of God, the word through the angel, is confirmed, and now she can sing. And I think that's the journey that God has some of us on, and maybe some of our friends and neighbors on, our family members on, as maybe they interact with us and we have something of a response. We listen to the question, we acknowledge the question. We might say, I've had those kind of questions. Mary had that kind of question. But here's what God has done in my life. Here's a small story, a small testimony from my life. God weaving, I would say, doubters and believers together. But out of that experience comes a song. So I'm going to invite the worship team back up. And I'm going to read the song, and then we're going to sing together part of the song. So again, just let me review it. The angel comes, Mary's terrified, the angel says, don't be afraid, tells her what's going to happen to her. She asks a question, how is this going to happen, I'm a virgin? The angel gives her a sign, Elizabeth, and she says, let it be unto me as you've said. She goes to Elizabeth. Elizabeth, is a wonderful encounter between these two women. And then out of that encounter comes these words, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he's been mindful of the humble state of his servants. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. Let's pray, and then we'll sing together. Father, thank you for the story of Christmas, the story of the birth of Jesus. And Father, I would assume that all of us here are on some kind of journey of faith. Some of us maybe have no questions at all. All our questions have been answered, and others of us maybe have some questions. And certainly, I know that our neighbors and our co-workers and members of our families and some of our friends have questions. And we ask, Lord, that in the spirit of Christmas, with the story fresh in our hearts, we be able to listen to questions, be merciful to doubters and skeptics. And Father, even in that encounter, you would produce faith. And even produce song, the song of faith, that we'd be able to sing this morning, but maybe others later on today or this week. Our souls glorify the Lord because he has done great things for us. Holy is his name. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.